Imagine waking up tomorrow and there is just a $288,000 credit card bill sitting right on your kitchen table.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Right. But for the average American household, that is actually exactly what your share of the $38.8 trillion national debt looks like today. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a 2026 comprehensive assessment of United States fiscal sustainability.
And our mission today is really figuring out how we got here.
Exactly. And what it actually means for your future. So, okay, let's unpack this. People always compare the federal budget to a family living, way beyond its means.
Like maxing out a joint credit card, yeah.
Right. But I have to push back on that classic analogy because a family eventually passes away and, well, they certainly cannot print their own money.
No, they definitely
The
cannot.
government has an infinite lifespan and they issue their own currency. So the rules are entirely different.
They are different, yeah, but the laws of mathematics actually still apply. What's fascinating here is the relationship between interest rates and economic growth. Economists call it the RG dynamic. For decades, the U.S. economy grew faster than the interest rate on its debt.
So we could basically just outgrow our borrowing.
Exactly. We could outgrow it. But lately, that dynamic has completely flipped. Interest rates are now, they are higher than our economic growth rate.
Wow.
Yeah, it means our debt is compounding way faster than the economy can expand to support it. I mean, by 2025, net interest hit $1 trillion.
$1 trillion just on interest.
Just on interest. It became the government's third largest expense. It even surpassed national defense.
Okay, so if compounding interest is already eating our budget alive, why do we keep adding, fuel to the fire? Let's look at the actual math behind recent legislation like the 2025 One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or OBBA.
Right, OBBBA.
Now, just to be crystal clear to you listening, we are strictly looking at the math here. We are not endorsing the left-wing or right-wing views within this bill at all.
Absolutely, just the raw numbers.
Yeah, just the numbers. So OBBA extended massive tax cuts and added temporary populist deductions.
Like removing taxes on tips and U.S. auto loans.
Right. And to offset this, it cut funding to Medicaid and SNAP, which is the Federal Food Assistance Program. But the net impact still, it still added up to like $4.2 trillion to the deficit.
Yeah, up to $4.2
It
trillion.
just feels like voters, and I mean myself included here, we want all these highly visible services and tax breaks, but we don't want to actually pay for them. Why is there such a massive disconnect?
Well, economists actually have a name for that. They call it fiscal illusion.
Fiscal illusion. Okay.
Yeah. When the bill for government services isn't hitting your paycheck right now, those services feel basically free.
Like a buy now, pay later mindset.
Exactly. But on a massive national scale. And for politicians, it creates what is known as a common pool problem.
Wait, a common pool? What is that?
So think of it like going to dinner with 10 friends where everyone agrees upfront to just split the bill evenly.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Right. Everyone orders the lobster and the really expensive wine because they know they will only pay a fraction of their own cost.
But eventually, that total bill bankrupts the whole group.
Precisely. Legislators do the exact same thing. They want to maximize immediate, visible benefits for their specific voters.
While hiding the true costs.
Yeah, by spreading it across future generations. That avoids political backlash today. And it is incredibly hard to fix because roughly 75% of the federal budget is just on autopilot.
You mean mandatory spending?
Right, like Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah.
It doesn't even require an annual vote.
But that political avoidance is colliding directly with demographic reality, right? Because that mandatory spending is heading straight for a cliff that directly impacts your retirement.
A very steep cliff, yes.
By 2032, the primary Social Security trust fund will be totally exhausted.
Which is really not that far away.
No, it is not. If nothing is done, legally mandated cuts will drop benefit payouts to just 81%.
That is a sudden 19% pay cut.
For millions of seniors living on fixed incomes, it would be devastating for household survival, and honestly, it would shock the broader consumer economy. But wait, here's where it gets really interesting to me. I look at the news and I see AI changing everything.
Sure, AI is everywhere.
Generative AI is projected to massively boost productivity. So couldn't the current AI boom generate enough federal revenue to just innovate our way out of this?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it is tragically not that simple.
Really? Why not?
Well, AI might indeed reduce the deficit by up to, say, $1.3 trillion over a decade through better productivity.
Which sounds like a lot.
It does, but higher economic productivity historically triggers higher real interest rates.
Oh, I see.
So while AI might hand the government more tax revenue, those higher interest rates make servicing our massive $38.8 trillion debt significantly more expensive.
The math essentially just wipes out the gains.
It wipes them out entirely, right?
Wow. It is like getting a huge promotion at work, but your mortgage rate automatically adjusts upward the exact same day.
So you don't actually get ahead at all.
Not at all. There are some proposed fixes to this gridlock, though, right? Like the Bipartisan Fiscal Commission Act.
Yeah, which would legally force Congress to actually vote on debt stabilization measures.
And there is also the Break Glass Plan. That one would require $2 in long-term savings for every $1 of emergency borrowing.
Right, a way to force some discipline.
Exactly. So, what does this all mean? For you, the listener, it means this structural fragility isn't just an abstract spreadsheet problem.
No, it is very real.
It directly threatens your personal savings, your future health care, and your overall economic stability.
Absolutely. And this raises a really important question to leave you with.
Go for it.
We started by pushing back on the idea of the government as a household, noting that a sovereign nation can usually find buyers for its debt.
Right, the infinite lifespan thing.
Right. But the landscape is shifting. Foreign private investors, not central banks, are now the primary buyers of U.S. treasuries.
So what happens to the global economy the day those private buyers look at that $38.8 trillion balance and decide the risk is simply no longer worth the return?